Christ.
I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Today we are celebrating Reformation Sunday. This is the time in which the Church across Canada in the Anglican tradition and in the Lutheran tradition are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And we find this day important to us because we have come into a new and greater and deeper relationship with the Lutheran community. We are now appointing Anglican clergy into Lutheran parishes, Lutheran clergy into Anglican parishes. The dean of one of our dioceses in Winnipeg is a Lutheran. So there's a lot of integration coming through. So it's important that we look at the Reformation and we look at it in eyes of today in 2017. The Reformation is like the rainbow. Those of you who live in Harrison know all about rainbows. The most jaw-dropping rainbows I've ever seen in my life are in Harrison. I've always loved rainbows from the time I was a little kid. But the Reformation is like a rainbow. It's a spectrum. It's a spectrum that goes from being close to the roots of the Catholic community to way beyond and moving way away from Catholicism. And some have gone to the point to say that Catholics are not Christian, which I have to tell you personally, I find deeply offensive. Deeply offensive. And I would challenge it anywhere, anytime. In fact, when people have said that to me, and it's been said to me more than once, I say to them, well, do you enjoy your scripture? Where did you think your New Testament came from? How do you think it was preserved all these years? And how do you think it evolved? It evolved in the Catholic tradition, which includes not just the Roman Catholic Church, but the Orthodox Church, the Old Catholic Church, and the Anglican Church, and the Lutheran Church. We are all Catholics. That's why we have a greater degree together today between the Anglicans and the Lutherans, because we find commonality in our Catholicism. There's slight differences, but still we're fairly close. Luther, when he posted his 90 documents, his 90 statements, he was not trying to break away from the Catholic Church. He was trying to clean up the house. The Catholic Church in Europe at that time, 500 years ago, Roman Catholic Church, had become fairly materialistic and corrupt. You couldn't tell the difference between a cardinal and a prince. Both saw themselves as princes, the prince of the church or the prince of the land. And they had become very temporal. And the church was doing crazy, stupid things. And so he didn't want to really break away. He wanted to clean up the house. And so he did. And he had a great influence because he spoke a feeling that really was in the land. People who had no voice all of a sudden found a champion who had a voice, who had an understanding of Jesus Christ and the love of Christ. And he really wanted to see the people practice the summary of the law, which I just read in the Gospel for today. And it wasn't happening. And so he'd had enough. But he also, other people were also speaking their mind. John Calvin, Zwingli, John Knox in Scotland, and a guy by the name of Cranmer in England. And my understanding of the Reformation, of course, comes from the English Reformation. And the English Reformation is somewhat different, influenced by the European Continental Reformation, but similar, but different. A lot of people want to point to the foundation of the Anglican Church and its Reformation as being Henry VIII and needing more wives. And I could go into why he had trouble having sons, but I won't. you can guess. But that wasn't it. I have been a clergyman for a long time, and I know that if the church was going to do something and be led, no king could tell me to do something I didn't want to do. The English had had enough with the excesses of the Roman Church from Rome and wanted to break away from that. But they didn't want to break away from the roots of their church. And so the English Reformation then never went as far as the European Reformation. The Anglican Church lives in what's known as the Via Media. And we still today is the Via Media. It has one foot in the Catholic tradition and the other foot in the Protestant tradition. And we just hope there's not barbed wire in between. And we are both Catholic and Protestant. We are Reformed Catholic and Reformed Protestant, if you will. What the Anglican Church has done was it kept the learnings of the years leading up to the Reformation. It kept the good thoughts of the great ecumenical councils. It did not throw them out. Unfortunately, the Lutherans didn't throw them out either, but the other groups that followed, especially John Calvin, threw them out. And their mantra became what's known as sola scriptura, only scripture. And the only scripture was that everything existed after the formation of the New Testament did not exist. And so unfortunately, the great understandings of the first four great ecumenical councils, where representatives of all the Christian churches had come together in prayer and had debated for a long time, evolved an understanding. And we've talked about this recently in some other talk about how Jesus was fully human and fully divine. And that because of that, we too are fully human and fully divine. There was this sense of grace and love. And that was maintained by the English in the English Reformation. Cranmer kept it as he composed the prayer book. The sacraments of the church were maintained as the prayer book evolved for the church in England. That we have this sense that the foundation of the church, authority-wise, is scripture, tradition of the church, the sacraments of the church, and reason. Those four foundations were all kept in the English Reformation. And in fact, we added reason, which was not really a high focal point in the Catholic tradition. So Cranmer put this together, and the clergy of the day, including the other bishops, other theologians, but also the vicars and the lay people supported it. 200 years later, you had the revolution in England where churches were burned, stained glass windows were broken, but that was not the Reformation. That was Cromwell and the revolution, the Civil War. Some people confuse the two. But the English Reformation, they kept the idea of having both being Catholic and being Protestant at the same time. They protested against the excesses of Rome, but they wanted to keep the beauty of what was in the Catholic tradition. Also, the clergy wanted to get married, and that happened as well. You're human. So, in Europe, the Reformation has some really good parts to it, because it not only brought people together and made people start to think about faith in a new foundational way. What does the love of God really mean? What does authority mean? Who are we as Christians? Was a question of 500 years ago. But there were excesses as well. When you lost all the reason and thought of the early ecumenical councils, in a way, some of the Protestant Reformation threw out the baby with the bathwater. And that's where that phrase first began. The other thing that happened was that the Roman Catholic Church itself looked into itself and looked at its own excesses. And the Counter-Reformation happened. And out of that emerged new learning and a better Roman Catholic Church. So the Reformation is an important thing in the history, the progressive history of the Christian Church overall. But we have to remember that the Church is supposed to be based in love, in wisdom, in forgiveness and reconciliation. It should be the living out of the summary of the law which Jesus gave, which we read this morning in Scripture. That's who we are. And when we see excesses of that, when we see that being forgotten, when we go in other directions, that's when it's time to start asking questions. Maybe we need to have another Reformation. I have to wonder, when I see what's going on in the world of Christendom today, when people are putting aside their values for power and money. That's what was happening 600-700 years ago, which led to the Reformation. And if that happens again, there needs to be a change. We are the people of God. We are the people of God who are called to be the representatives, the ambassadors of Jesus in the world today. And then we are to read first, I believe, the Gospels, then the Epistles. And the Old Testament is just for background. It should not be our guiding light. The guiding light is the Gospels. The guiding light is the New Testament. For we are the people of the tradition of Jesus Christ. We are the people of the Christian way. And I pray together that today, as we think about the Reformation, there was a lot of good in the Reformation. There were some extremes in the Reformation. And that we have to stay in the middle. That's sort of where I am. I'm a moderate kind of guy, and the Anglican Church is the place for me. And I hope that we can keep that strong, that middle voice of not extreme one or the other way, but a place in the middle where all are brought together. Some people have criticized me in the past and said, well, you're nothing but a mushy middle. I have had a mushy middle in my life, I agree, but I've lost weight. But seriously, it's not mushy. It is a place where we value everyone's point of view. We work to listen. We work to talk. We work to bring results for moving forward as the people of God, dealing with the issues as they emerge today. Not pretending that we're living 2,000 years ago, but living with new knowledge of what we know and responding to it as Christians with our values brought to bear in the midst of life's challenges. And I pray today, as we receive the sacrament and we have the real presence of Jesus with us, we remember and celebrate the Reformation. We celebrate being people of God, and we celebrate that we are called to minister as the people of God today. May God bless us all. Amen.